last portion of the Torah, chapter 33, in the very Vizoka Bracha. This is the blessing Asher Beirach Moshe, that Moshe blessed. And here, for the first time in the Torah, Moshe is described as Ish HaElokim, the man of God. So this man of God, Moshe, blesses the Jewish people at Bnei Israel, Lifnei Moto, right before he dies, he blesses them. Now, you have to understand that the concept of blessing in the Torah means the following. Blessings are given according to the characteristics of the person, right? And what you do with a blessing is that you pray for that characteristic to develop. Meaning, it's never something from nothing. Meaning, a blessing always implies something that's already in existence, but the blessing says, let there be more of the same. Right? For this is why Jacob, when he blesses the sons, each one receives a different blessing, each one according to its basic characteristics. And what the blessing does is allow, through prayer, to develop that characteristic that's innate, that the person has naturally. Okay, this is why each one of the tribes receives a different blessing. Otherwise, give one to everybody, because it doesn't make sense to give one to everybody, because not everybody has the same natural tendency. So whatever tendencies they have, what the blessing does is that it prays towards it developing in the right direction, whatever you have. So now, actually, the blessings really start in verse number 6. Right? And it starts with a blessing to Reuven, to the first son of Jacob. In other words, to the tribe of Reuven. Now, we are going to try to analyze what is there between verse number 2 and 5. Right? If the blessing actually starts in 6, what is it all about in verses number 2, 3, 4, and 5? So let's just go over it superficially, and then we'll try to understand why is there, what is the purpose of these four verses. It says like this: God came out from Sinai, and he appeared, Zorach, like he appeared from Seir. Seir happens to be the land of Esau. It's called Seir. That's the land of Esau. And then he came from Paran. Paran, says the Talmud, that's the land of Ishmael. Okay? So here, it says like this. God came from Sinai, appeared from Esau. Another word for appear from Ishmael. And then he came with his angels, with the Eishdat, I don't know exactly how to translate it, this fiery law, right? How is it translated there?
Fiery law.
Fiery law. Okay. It's like some kind of a fiery law. Now, obviously, on the surface, it just doesn't make any sense. What is it telling us? What does it mean coming from Sinai and from Esau and from Ishmael? What does it all mean? Next, verse number 3. Although he loves all nations, his holy ones are in his hands. Which, okay, that already makes a little bit sense. You know, even though God is the God of the universe, right? He has favorites, so to speak, right? There is favoritism by God, even though it may sound unfair to us. There is favoritism, which means there is a chosen nation. Even though he loves all these nations, the holy one, those that are close to him, he's close to in a very special way. Okay, that makes more sense already what it's saying. And they, and those people, again, a very difficult expression, were at his foot, like at the foot of the mountain. This, according to the Talmud, is a hint. Those people, those chosen ones, were sort of the mountain. What is that? Into a certain statement that the Talmud makes that says the following. True, the Jews said in Sinai, we shall do and we shall hear. Remember that statement, we shall do and we shall hear. That's the acceptance of the Torah. However, God picked up the mountain. So, of course, it's a metaphor, but the metaphor is, of course, a meaning. God picked up the mountain and told them, either you accept the Torah or else this is the end of you. I'm just dropping the mountain on top of you. This is a Talmudic statement which implies that the Jews had no real choice in accepting the Torah. That was their destiny, right? The way that Talmud expresses the ideas through this metaphor of the mountain, right? It doesn't necessarily mean that God picked up the mountain. It just means that the Jews had no real choice, even though from their statement, we shall hear and we shall do, or we shall do and we shall hear, it implies choice. In reality, they had no choice. In other words, it was only a perception of choice that in reality did not exist, meaning the Jews were destined to accept the Torah. And then it says in verse number 4,